views and opinions of findings and or devices discussed in this podcast are those of the host, subject matter experts, and or guests. Facts represented constitute our understanding at the time of the podcast, whereas updated factual information may be developed. They should not be construed as pronouncing an official Department of Defense's position, policy, decision, or endorsement. The host and guests of Cubist may be defense contract personnel who support the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence. Status of all hosts and guests will be identified during introductions to the podcast. Hi, welcome to Clinical Updates in Brain Injury Science Today, or CUBIST, a podcast for healthcare providers about current research on traumatic brain injury, also known as TBI. This program is produced by the TBI Center of Excellence, or TBI COE. I'm your host, Dr. Katie Monty, a contractor supporting TBI COE. Today, I'll be speaking with Dr. Keith Stussy, a family practice sports medicine physician and TBI subject matter expert, also a contractor supporting TBI COE. Keith and I will discuss a study titled Individualized Spectral Filters Alleviate Persistent Photophobia, Headaches, and Migraines in Active Duty Military and Veterans Following Brain Trauma by Sandra Tosta and colleagues and published in Brain Injury in February 2024. In addition, we are happy to welcome Dr. Eric Singman, a board-certified ophthalmologist with fellowship training in neuro-ophthalmology. Dr. Singman has an impressive resume, having worked as an attending neuro-ophthalmologist at the Lancaster Rehabilitation Hospital, the Wilmer Eye Institute at the Johns Hopkins Hospital, and he is currently a professor at the University of Maryland School of Medicine's Departments of Ophthalmology, Visual Sciences, and Neurology. We'll be hearing Dr. Singman's expert opinion on this study later in the episode. First off, thank you for being here, Dr. Singman. And Keith, thanks for bringing this article to our attention. So why was the study done?
Hi, Katie. And I'm so glad to have Dr. Singman here to give his expert opinion on this topic. We know that traumatic brain injury is a significant issue within the U.S. military and has a significant cost to troop readiness in both the short-term and long-term disability. While the majority of service members have symptom resolution within a few weeks after their injury, a certain percentage will go on to have lingering effects, to include both photosensitivity and post-traumatic headaches, with migraines being one of the most common types. In their introduction in this article, the authors discuss the concept of visual stress, which beyond light sensitivity and photophobia and eye strain, includes issues with visual perception, attention and concentration, and reading difficulties related to print clarity and stability. Issues associated with visual stress can lead to academic struggles and workplace performance, especially those military occupations that require intense reading and computer work. This type of visual stress, they argue, differs from standard visual disturbances related to accommodative and vergence dysfunction, which are typically treated with vision therapy. Now, visual disturbances, to include photophobia, are part of the diagnostic criteria for persistent headache following mild traumatic brain injury. The authors propose that the origins of photophobia and secondary headache associated with TBI, like visual stress, likely represent a central sensitization to light. However, it remains unclear to what extent photophobia is a consequence of or contributes to headache and migraine occurrence and severity. The authors discuss evidence from a variety of sources showing that the wavelength of light regulates brain activity more broadly than the perception of color. Recent work with functional MRI has revealed potent individual differences in how different wavelengths regulate activity in reward and pain centers. By extension, they claim that in visual stress and photophobia, individuals may differ in the specific wavelengths of light that evoke neural and physical symptoms. Precision tinted color filters worn as glasses have been used over the years in clinical settings to alleviate symptoms with success and also specifically to treat headaches and migraines related to visual processing problems. There is some evidence that individualized colors are required for maximum benefit versus things such as blue blocking and red tinted lenses, which have been reported to decrease and improve light sensitivity. Given the overlap between the list of unresolved persistent symptoms reported by TBI patients and the photophobia and associated physical symptoms of visual stress, the current study aimed to examine their relationship more directly. Spectral filters, as they call them, have been used by the authors for the treatment of light sensitivity and visual stress. They extended the therapeutic use of spectral filters to secondary headaches and migraines due to head injury or brain trauma. By regulating photophobia and visual stress, they examined whether the benefits of spectral filtering would extend to secondary headaches and migraines, specifically in the active duty and veteran population.
That's interesting, Keith. Persistent post-traumatic headache can be really challenging to treat. Many of the recommended medications require titration over time and can cause unwanted side effects. But it sounds like here with these spectral filters that perhaps this might be another avenue or another pathway to look at. Can you describe the methods used in this study?
They obtained data on 392 current and previous active duty men and women, of which 97% were men and 3% were women, and they ranged in age from 21 to 50 years old, with the mean being 34.4 years old, and the average time since their mild TBI or concussion was 3.0 years. Unfortunately, the authors did not discuss the recruitment process in the article, so we do not know how these individuals were enrolled. And as you'll see, Katie, as we move along in the discussion, there are definitely some methodologic flaws that I'll point out. But getting back to these patients, all of them suffered chronic headaches and migraines and light sensitivity. They were referred for evaluation and treatment of visual processing problems and visual stress. All participants had headaches or migraines deemed, quote, medically resistant by medical professionals, and they had not effectively responded to any of the standard courses of treatment. Again, the methodology for recruitment is not mentioned in this article, and the authors do not discuss which providers deem the participants medically resistant. So of these 392 participants, they took one group, 209 of them, who had not completed any formal headache or migraine assessment, but they took a look at them to identify independently the top areas of concern. Now, the other group, 183 individuals, were provided several questionnaires that were used for data analysis. Two of the surveys were developed by the Erlin Institute, which is where these service members were evaluated. So regarding these two different surveys that were developed, first is to acquire more thorough history of their problems and symptoms, they utilized the Erlin Reading Perceptual Scale, or IRPS. The IRPS is a custom questionnaire that assesses difficulties across 32 subareas to include light sensitivity, headache severity, and other physical and emotional symptoms, academic and job performance, attention and concentration, vestibular-related items such as balance and sleep quality. So difficulty is rated on a Likert scale of 0 to 5, with 0 meaning no problem and 5 meaning considerable problem. They employed a cutoff of 4 to select the most profound areas of concern. Then, to determine which spectral filter color that resulted in maximum self-reported visual stress symptom relief, they utilized the Erlin Differential Perceptual Schedule, or IDPS. The result was the generation of individualized precision-tinted lenses worn as glasses that filter out specific wavelengths of light causing difficulties for the individual. Individuals were asked to wear their spectral filters daily, although adherence was not assessed, nor is there any indication as to how long they wore their glasses. A third measure used was the Headache Impact Test Version 6, or HID-6. The HID-6 measures the adverse impact of headache on social functioning, role functioning, vitality, cognitive functioning, and psychological distress. In addition, it measures the severity of headache pain. Scores on the HID-6 range from a minimum score of 36 to a maximum of 78, and the higher the score, the more negative the impact has on the individual. Follow-up questionnaires were administered over the phone and assessed at 4 to 12 weeks later, with the variability in assessment period depending on scheduling availability.
That sounds interesting, Keith. Can you tell us more about how they prescribed the spectral filters and how they work?
So they used a diagnostic protocol to determine the optimal spectral filter color for each individual based on the elimination or reduction of symptoms of distortion and discomfort. They found that the lenses were most likely to filter out the wavelengths in the yellow-orange part of the vestibular spectrum, followed by the violet and blue, and least likely to filter greens. Regarding the areas of most concern, they used a cutoff of 4 as their IRPS, which resulted in 15 areas of particular difficulty that were further reduced to a final set of 9 areas for investigation by using factor analysis to develop 2 new constructs from 8 of the original 15 items under investigation. These 9 areas of difficulty included both the areas of specific study, light sensitivity, headache, and migraine, and other areas related to TBI and PTSD, but not hypothesized to be of direct relation to the proposed intervention. These include sleep, short-term memory, mental health, and two areas related to eye strain. The areas of specific study happen to have the highest mean scores in their analysis. So, the four different areas that they looked at, first is light sensitivity. So, the wearing of spectral filters reduced light sensitivity, nearly entirely eliminating it as a concern, with 98% rating it a 0 out of 5. The mean scores went from 4.44 to 0.06. The change in light sensitivity was assessed as part of a multiple analysis of variance, or MANOVA, and the p-value was less than 0.00001, using a Wilcoxon-signed ranks test. Regarding headache and migraine frequency, participants reported experiencing significantly fewer migraines per month, from an average of 14.8 to 1.9 per month following wearing of the spectral filters, again a p-value of less than 0.00001, and 72% of the sample reported no longer having migraines. Regarding headache and migraine influence on daily function, there was a significant change in HIT-6 scores from pre to post in terms of impact of headaches on daily function. Again, p-values less than 0.00001. The average post-HIT-6 score was 42, with a mean of 41.6 and a standard deviation of 8.3. Of note, 55% of participants reported the lowest possible score post-intervention. Now, when they looked at headache and migraine relative to each other areas of function, spectral filter wearing resulted in the greatest amount of change in visual perception and experienced pain. In contrast, difficulties related to mental health, short-term memory, and sleep had the smallest amount of change and remained areas of continued difficulty, with post scores remaining in the moderate range. Lastly, they also looked at prescription and over-the-counter medication use and found that the wearing of spectral filters was associated with a significant decrease in the use of prescription medication and using over-the-counter or OTC medications, both with a p-value of less than 0.00001. Wearing spectral filters was associated with a 69% reduction in prescribed medications and 94% reduction in OTC medication usage. Unfortunately, it is not clear which medications were reduced, and therefore, we cannot be certain these medications were even related to the treatment of migraine headaches.
Wow, those are some pretty impressive results. Thanks, Keith. What would you say are the key takeaways for primary care providers in the military, and what are your thoughts on how this might affect treatment for our service members?
So let me start by saying that while these results are certainly impressive and showed significant reduction in persistent post-traumatic headaches, because of the significant number of methodologic flaws that I've mentioned in my previous discussion, it's really hard for me to make any recommendations to our audience regarding the use of the Irlen spectral filter lenses. And I really think it's important for our listeners to understand more about these study sponsors, the Irlen Institute, as I've had prior experience with them while I was on active duty at Camp Pendleton. So when I was a physician assigned to the Wounded Warrior Battalion West at Camp Pendleton, we had many Marines that had significant photophobia, and they would ask us to allow them to wear sunglasses inside due to light sensitivity. During my tenure there, several service members went to the Irlen Institute and spoke of results very similar to the ones that were presented here. Understandably, many of the Marines wanted permission to get fitted for these glasses, but these lenses are quite costly, and at the time, because there was little data to support these anecdotal results, the TRICARE folks would not authorize them to go and be seen. In addition, we did have specialists down at Naval Medical Center San Diego who were using tinted lenses to get similar results at a fraction of the price. And what I found interesting is the authors specifically thanked the Camp Pendleton Concussion Care Clinic, despite no known endorsement from previous or current leadership at the Intrepid Spirit Center, which is what it's now called, and there's no known IRB or regulatory approvals or recruitment effort cited. It's interesting because I actually started the Concussion Care Clinic at Camp Pendleton, and I can, you know, speak to those experiences, and certainly they never contacted me at the time about doing the study. So in conducting a standard background research for the article review, the Irlen website defines Irlen syndrome as a type of visual or perceptual processing disorder, in which individuals who suffer from the syndrome have difficulty processing certain wavelengths of light, which causes visual stress. This can result in light sensitivity, reading, attention, concentration, writing problems. This is exactly what we discussed at the beginning of the podcast and what the authors presented. The website indicates Irlen syndrome is hereditary and exists on a continuum. It is important to note that current medical literature does not recognize this diagnosis, and several other research groups have found flaws in the Irlen Institute's data. In the conclusion of their study, the authors cite multiple studies showing effectiveness of spectral filters in the adult population with visual stress of unspecified origin. However, in 2019, a Brazilian group did a systematic review of Irlen syndrome and found high heterogeneity among studies and lack of evidence on the existence of Irlen syndrome and treatment effectiveness. In addition, a group from Stanford did a review of existing research regarding the use of colored filters in 2018 among patients recovering from traumatic brain injuries, and they found there was a paucity of information related to the therapeutic use of tinted lenses to mitigate post-traumatic light sensitivity and migraines. Although patients subjectively reported improved symptoms, specifically with the precision tints or FL41. So kind of putting this in total, they put out this syndrome and claim that their glasses help, but when you really dive into it with these systematic reviews, it does not appear that the evidence is clear that there is effectiveness with them.
Thanks, Keith. I'd like to now bring Dr. Singman into this discussion. Dr. Singman served as a subject matter expert on brain injury at the Department of Defense Vision Center of Excellence on multiple occasions and has chaired grant review committees for the Department of Defense Vision Research Program. His clinical expertise includes diagnosis of visual dysfunction after brain injury, as well as the impact of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome on vision. Dr. Singman, would you like to opine on this study, specifically regarding the methodology and results? What do you make of this?
I would. Thank you. First of all, it's a privilege to be here, and I thank you for inviting me. I would desperately love to see this kind of work be effective. And I'm a proponent of anything that could work, especially that is harmless and that may be helpful. But I was disappointed in this study, in the methodology of it. The first thing, and the authors do freely admit this, that there's no control group for the study. And a study of any type to be worthwhile should have a control group. But a study of this type could have a number of different control groups that would be very important. First, the control population could be healthy people. Another control group could be people who met the analysis criteria but were provided placebo spectacles or neutral density spectacles that cut out light without changing the color of the light. The problem here is that there are three critical variables in terms of therapy. There's treatment adherence, there's hue, and there's density. So treatment adherence is, did they wear the spectacles? Hue is, what colors were getting into their eyes? And density is, how much light was actually getting into their eyes? And this study would require controls of all the types I mentioned. That being said, there were too few participants to create control groups of sufficient size for the study. Without a control group, you can't say that the lenses they provided accomplished anything more than the time they spent thinking about wearing the lenses accomplished anything because there's no control to compare it to. Another issue I have is that they didn't show what glasses they gave. Now, many of you have seen glasses that people wear for protection after they have cataract surgery. They wrap around the whole face. They stop light from the top, from the sides, from the bottom, as well as from the front. If they weren't wraparound glasses, then how do they prevent stray unfiltered light to get into the eye? And if they allowed stray unfiltered light to get into the eye, then how could they know if the glasses were doing anything worthwhile? And why would the glasses do anything worthwhile since the glasses weren't blocking the light they were trying to prevent? Another issue I had was when the glasses were worn. Were they supposed to be worn all the time, or maybe just indoors, or maybe just outdoors? Now, let's think this through a second. It would seem that they would be needed mostly outdoors where the bright sun is, and one could suggest that filtering glasses meant for outdoor use would be too dark for indoor use. How many people are comfortable wearing sunglasses inside? And if the glasses were made for indoor use because they were tested during reading tasks, And they were tested during tracking tasks indoors, according to the methodology section. Then would they be worthwhile? Would they block enough light when they were worn outdoors? And finally, if they were meant to be worn at all times, and maybe they were, it would have to be explained why they were sufficiently dark to protect from sunlight while at the same time being sufficiently light to allow indoor reading. It just didn't make sense to me. Another issue was, again, we talked about adherence of the glasses. And again, they were very forthcoming and said they did not measure adherence. Now, this is an admission that's important, and I respect the honesty of it, but it makes it very difficult to know whether the glasses or some other variable caused any effect. Migraine, and they were talking about migraine here, is a very complex disorder. Things like social isolation and anxiety lower the migraine threshold and make it easy to get migraines. So just the fact that there were people interacting with them, showing that they cared, showing that these patients were not ignored, that someone was trying to help them, could have actually improved their emotional environment enough to reduce migraine med needs. I mean, think about that. There's an emotional component to migraine. Another issue I had with the study was that in the abstract, they mentioned some 300 plus patients, but they really only studied 183 patients. And of these 183, 98% were men, and 90% had a diagnosis of PTSD. So this is a very uniform group, which is great, except for the fact that you certainly can't expand the study results, whatever those results are, to a general population of migraineurs or TBI patients if they're all going to be men with PTSD. This is a very biased study. And if there are gender differences or differences related to psychological disturbances with respect to treatment, then this study cannot be generalized past that at all. And there have been reports that gender did seem to influence color choice in the treatment of visual stress with these spectral prisms. Another concern I had was that the methods indicated that the diagnostic process required utilization of two different scales, the IRPS and the IDPS, the Erlen Reading Perceptual Scale, the Erlen Differential Perceptual Scale. Now, according to their website, these tests measure, quote, visual perceptual strength and weaknesses. I looked for these scales. I could not find these scales published. I could find no published data validating the utility of these scales as having any use. I found a handful of articles that mentioned these scales and talked about the scales as if their validity was settled science. That's not how we do things. If these scales are not accessible to anyone, to you or to me, then that's not going to help anybody. The one last thing that was a concern to me was that they said that they individualized colored filters, but they had many different filters for each of the different patients that they treated. Well, you keep adding filters and adding filters and adding filters, you're also darkening the picture of what these patients can see. And so the question is, was it the colors that were helping at all? Because the colors were all over the place for everybody. Or was it simply lowering the amount of light that got into their eyes that was helpful? Again, without controls, we have no way of knowing. And so what ends up happening, sadly, is that the methodologic flaws make it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to draw any useful conclusions from this study.
Thank you so much, Dr. Singman. Are you aware of any evidence? You know, Dr. Soucy mentioned a systematic review on Erlen syndrome that showed a lack of evidence of the existence of Erlen syndrome. Can you speak to any evidence perhaps supporting Erlen syndrome or anything that our listeners should be aware of when they're out there reading these studies?
Unfortunately, Dr. Soucy was correct. The systematic review of Erlen syndrome suggests that there's not enough data to suggest it should even be a recognized nosologic entity. There are lots of papers that say certain colors might make people more comfortable. But, you know, as I said, I've reviewed and chaired DOD grant committees for the Vision Research Program. And I can tell you that a good research study is built in a way you can follow the thought process, you can look up the preliminary data, you can follow the methodology in a way that you would have good controls, you could understand the statistics, you could understand how data was collected. And that's sadly lacking in many ways in this study. As I said, who wouldn't want a harmless way of helping patients with glare sensitivity, migraines, photophobia? Who wouldn't love to see colored glasses make a difference? But, you know, there are ways of trying colored glasses that are much less expensive. There are websites that sell all different colors and all different light transmission ratios for a fraction of this price. And so it's just disappointing. I guess that's the best way I can put it.
Thank you so much. And one last question. Dr. Susie had mentioned the use of tinted lenses in the treatment or management of photosensitivity, especially when related to migraine. And I know that these colored tinted lenses are used at different Intrepid Spirit centers in the military. And my understanding is that they're used in a way where they're titrated. And this is usually a prescription. The lenses can be prescribed based on that person's visual acuity. But the goal is to eventually bring them back to where they can tolerate light and not keeping them on these tinted lenses. Can you speak to that, the use of these tinted lenses in the TBI population or in just the management of light sensitivity?
Yes, there are a couple of different companies that make tinted lenses of different colors and different light transmission ratios. And I have a trial set from one of those companies, and I freely lend it to my patients. I let them take it home, and I often dilate their eyes. I tell them when they're no longer dilated to go outside or inside, try all the different lenses in front of your eyes and see which one, if any, make you a little more comfortable. Then contact the company that makes the lenses and makes the glasses and tell them you want a darker pair for outside, a lighter pair for inside, and just to let you know that the frames for these companies are wraparound, so they block light top, bottom, and sides. And the price of these lenses is perhaps totally $40, $50. So, you know, I went through and looked at the different prices of how to be fitted for Erlen lenses, and it's very expensive, easily perhaps 20 times that price. And so I do try it. I do offer to my patients. Some of my patients say nothing helps. Some patients say some things helped a little. Some patients say it helped a lot. We do need a study that's done well to see if this type of thing helps. And I would welcome it.
Thank you. That's very insightful. And are there any other questions that perhaps I should have asked that I didn't?
Well, I would say that to those people who are grasping at something to help them with their photophobia and glare, I can tell you that in my experience, it eventually does ease up. But in patients who are migraineurs, glare can be a residual thing and can worsen. And unfortunately, TBI patients develop migraines or get worse than their migraines. So I think if you haven't seen a migraine specialist or a neurologist who specializes in migraine, please at least try that route before you give up. Because there's some pretty exciting things going on in the migraine world right now. And if you treat the migraine, chances are you might get a good crack at the glare.
This has been a great discussion on the use of spectral lenses in the treatment of headache and photophobia. Clearly, there are multiple methodologic flaws in this study, at least from what is included in this article, making it very difficult to recommend this particular treatment for our service members. It sounds like more research is necessary to understand the validity of these results, but the findings are certainly interesting. Thank you to both of you for joining us today and for providing your expert opinions in this area. So that's all the time we have for today. You can stay up to date on future episodes by subscribing to Cubist on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts, where you can also find links to the articles we discuss and other relevant resources. Cubist is produced and edited by Vinnie White and was hosted today by me, Dr. Katie Monti. It is a product of the Traumatic Brain Injury Center of Excellence, a branch of the Research Portfolio Management Division under the Research and Engineering Directorate of the Defense Health Agency, led by Branch Chief Captain Scott Coda, Medical Corps, United States Navy. Thank you for listening to this episode.